Before doing so, however, let us discuss yet another method, which is the Monte Carlo sampling, which you've been using at the beginning of this chapter. Monte Carlo methods have the advantage of being quite general, and it is easy to deal with quite complicated options. The main drawback, however, is that they converge very slowly to the actual value, and you'll have to use a large number of sampling markers to calculate relatively imprecise value for the option. So it will cost you a lot in calculation time, and these Monte Carlo methods are usually used only for either extremely exotic options or for options which depend on more than two or three random processes or driving factors. So how can we describe the option value with a Monte Carlo simulation? In fact, we saw how this is possible already in the second chapter, simply by adding increments where you add a deterministic and a random component to the underlying asset price. This is exactly what is done in the procedure here in the vMarket applet. First, however, we need to initialize the simulation, and this is done in samplingsolution.java. If you look into how the code is written, you'll see that we initialize a current state exactly for the value of the strike price. This is an arbitrary choice, and we will evolve now only one underlying asset initial condition to describe, in fact, a whole range of them. In fact, if you have independence between the different asset prices, we will be able to scale the result of these simulation and describe, so to say, the relative motion of the random walkers with respect to these. So here we initialize the initial population with the strike price, and also initialize the markers in the case of barrier options. So for an in barrier, we will initialize the marker at 0, and for an out barrier, we initialize it at 1, so that when the condition is met, the barrier will be knocked out and put back to 0. The description now of the value of the current state as a function of time proceeds exactly in the same manner as we described in the second chapter. And you can look into mcssolution.java, which is the code where this evolution is calculated, where you describe the current state as a function of the previous state, adding a deterministic component and a random component, which are scaled the first by the drift minus the dividend yield, and the second by the volatility, exactly as we did in the second chapter. So I will not come back to this. For the barriers, here you need to test, in the case of barrier options, whether you satisfy the conditions to either have an in or an out condition, and you will change the marker according to the conditions you want to test. Having done so, you're ready to describe, in fact, the evolution of the price of an option for an initial condition, which is the price of the share. This is usually sufficient if you start today with a certain share value, you can calculate the price of an option for that share value with the option parameters. However, in the applet, if you want to display now the value of an option for a whole range of underlying asset prices, you'll need to repeat this procedure for each of the asset price. This will cost you quite a lot of computational time, and in fact you can avoid doing so by calculating not a new sequence of random numbers, but simply by scaling the motion which you described only for values of the underlying starting with the strike price, and scaling this motion for other initial values with the formula given in the text. This is not always possible, but is possible in the case of a log normal walk and also in the case of a normal walk. So for these two conditions, we will use, in fact, the evolution of only one class of underlying assets to calculate the whole payoff of the option. For values in between, the normal and the log normal walk, you will in fact have to repeat the evolution for all the different underlying asset prices, which will be done in the applet if you take values of kappa significantly different from 0 or 1. You're ready now to calculate and display the result of such a calculation, and you will see, starting from an initial price which is here set at the strike price, how the random walkers start to spread out and drift according to the applet parameters. In fact, if you solve for a barrier option, you will see how the different markers start to become to affect the value of the solution once they transform into the red dots. So you test here directly what is a barrier option, and you will calculate the value of this barrier in barrier option as a function of the underlying. I let you now repeat the calculation with an increasing number of random walkers, and you can also compare the value that is calculated without a barrier using a comparison with a finite difference method, and also, why not, the analytical formula. You can also increase the time step, and you will see how you can create spurious negative asset values in the case of a log normal walk. Remember that a log normal walk will always guarantee that your prices remain positive. However, if you take two large time steps, this algorithm will in fact give you negative asset prices, which again have no financial reason and are pure artifact of the simulation.